All right, folks, I had a little bit of time. So, you know, I just walked through the door a little while ago, had time for a quick cast to kind of wrap up this month. Sorry about that. worth of casts. So normally, sometimes we have normal episodes and then we have these quick casts just to kind of recap. And they are normally shorter casts where either myself or Tarkan or, you know, it's just myself or someone else tries to get on and just, you know, have a really quick cast about a singular topic or just kind of cover, you know, some hectic stuff that may have happened that day, usually ban restricted announcements, things of that nature. So the hectic, I guess, topic of this cast is, you know, Dominaria Standard. And this has been a topic that a few folks in the Insider Discord, the QS Insider Discord, wanted me to cover. There was a SCG Standard Classic in Atlanta. And if anyone was covering that, there was quite a bit of shakeup in the format already. We've had some drastic increase in some of the Dominaria stuff already. That could also be due to another topic, you know, short topic that I'll cover about distribution already selling out, because we heard from Blake on the Mothership site that Dominaria was one of the largest, rather, pre-release numbers that we've recorded to date, which is awesome. I mean, from a meta perspective, whenever you have a set that's, you know, this highly regarded and has those kind of numbers, it's always good to kind of bring folks back into the game. And what that ultimately means is more people are spending money on Magic again. So that's just all around great for the market. It's all around great for the game. And we've seen that because the market has been very active lately. Some of which was, you know, kind of the hype around Masterpieces yet again. This is becoming an annual thing, and Tarkan and I discussed that. The reserve list stuff, that's pretty much an annual thing at this point. We're seeing this go on actually daily at this point. I will talk about a card that's pretty much being bought up like as I speak at this point. But, you know, Dominaria pretty much was the catalyst to all this. And, you know, it's always good to get people back into the game. So let's just kind of break down what we saw in terms of what, you know, relative to what we thought of, you know, Dominaria Standard going into it. Some of the cards that have drastically increased, Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, the five mana walker, not the planeswalker version, but the actual set version. This is not a card that came up actually often in a lot of our discussions, but it spiked pretty massively, almost pretty much double in price, and a few insiders I actually sold before the pre-spike. You know, obviously that's par for the course for me. Not really, but it's always great to sell before a spike. But I know a few of you that have pretty much sold this at the new price of around $40. So at and around $40, I know some of you have already sold at that point. The price is still kind of fluctuating. I don't expect this to hold that long because, you know, folks are opening this at they've been opening this. And I think even with the, you know, distributor kind of lagging behind, you know, Dominaria is just a sell no matter what, especially with any new set. But yeah, some folks have sold this at or around $40, and kudos to them. I did not grab, or, you know, I sold my only copy for pre-spike prices and did not grab any. Lyra Dawnbringer is also another one that has increased drastically to no one's surprise. I mean, that was pretty much on everyone's radar. It was definitely a buy early on in the pre-release orders of at or around $10. This is now sitting at close to $30. And that's kind of where I saw it going very early on. I mean, the card is fantastic. I mean, it's such a powerful card. It reads as a powerful card. I mean, it hit everybody in the face. I mean, it was not really that hard to predict this one. And, you know, I don't think anyone was really lauding themselves for, you know, praising this card because it's worthy of being praised. It's a really good card. I do think this will settle at around the $25 mark, and this probably teeter off a little bit more as Dominaria continues to be drafted and opened. But yeah, Lyra Dawnbringer and Teferi pretty much stole the show at SEG Atlanta with basically a list that we saw early on in the 5-0 MTGO results. They're so important. So important, the 5-0. Like these daily deck dumps, there's like, I don't know, 10 or some odd deck lists, maybe more, from very early on in the MTG, like on the MTGO meta, whenever a new set hits. That's, for the last few sets, that's basically always been the meta of the first few SCG events. And then from there, pretty much the Pro Tour. I mean, the last couple of Pro Tours that I covered, while they might, you know, they did have a few surprise, like not really surprises, but price increases, a lot of the meta was basically what it was from the early MTGO results into the SCG results, and then basically fine-tuned from there. PT Dominaria doesn't start till June. I think it's the mixed format, so Dominaria doesn't have like its own dedicated standard Pro Tour to like back all this up. But very early on, these blue-white, I guess they're calling it historic. It's July PT that's the mix? Okay, so we'll double-check that. So June PT Dominaria, so it will have its own Pro Tour kind of dedicated to this, which is great. I mean, that's probably going to pick sales up yet again because this set is insane. But yeah, back to blue-white historic. Raf Capuchin, pretty much by the card itself, is the core part of this new deck list. I mean, the card is so powerful. I don't even know. I mean, it's crazy even at uncommon. And I played with this card. I don't even know why this is uncommon. This could pretty much be a rare. But yeah, I mean, blue-white historic definitely seems like a deck that's here to stay. It's got a lot of powerful lines that it can have. Flash in Lyra, flash in Merfolk Trickster is always awesome. Raf Capuchin on its own, it's awesome. You know, it's just insane, the amount of stuff that this blue-white blink or flash deck has. Other than that, we saw a lot of mono-red aggro, some lists kind of moving into this bigger red archetype, kind of powering out, using Skirk Prospector to kind of power out Siege Gang Commanders and Rowdy Crew. Rowdy Crew pretty much at this point was nearly a bulk mythic. And anytime I see both bulk mythics go from a 0 to a 4 of, that always raises a red flag for me, especially if it's in a set like Rivals of Ixalan, which was kind of the in-between set. And, you know, it was the Ixalan blocks, you know, sets were fun, but I think like it pretty much wasn't open into nearly as much as it was Dominaria, and it didn't have masterpieces. So yeah, it was just one of those mythics that just kind of fell to the wayside, and then all of a sudden it's played as a 4 of. That's pretty much free money when you really think about it. And I know I picked up a few copies. I know others have picked up a few copies just in case. I mean, because the gamble at that point is pretty much non-existent. I mean, they were pretty much bulk mythics. You know, 20, 30 cents, not even. Some were even cheaper than that. Going further, we see Aaron Larson at the SCG Atlanta event this was 8th place, 4-color ramp. It's an interesting list. Basically, revolves around Approach the Second Sun and Settle the Wreckage. I mean, Settle the Wreckage stock has been increasing for, you know, since Dominaria has been inserted into standards. So that card's always been pretty good. I don't think it's really a buy, but the supply is already drying up. So if there's some cheap copies out there, probably is a good idea to own a few of these. Let's see, anything else that jumped out at me? Green, white, aggro. So there was the Land of War Elves list, basically into Steel Leaf Champion, Shalai. So some of the cards that we were talking about early in the, you know, spoiler season that kind of did pan out, those are at least seeing play. They might continue to see play, but not nearly as hyped as Teferi and Lyra right now. And I just wanted to go over the April 30th MTGO Standard League dump. So there was about, oh my goodness, like almost 20 deck more. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's probably like a good almost 30 deck lists here. 5-0 deck lists. So a lot of the same stuff. Mono Green Monument. Again, Land of War Elves into Steel Leaf Champion. And it's also playing Ronas's Monument, which is just brutal. but these are really where you find new archetypes, you know, could pop up, or existing archetypes like the blue-white historicalists continue to evolve. The one thing I noticed about this particular day was this, you know, what was starting to tick up was this black, red, green, and black, red, so Jund and black, red deck was start to pop up with Glintly Siphoner, Rekindling Phoenix, Goblin Chain Whirler, whose stock is also has been up pretty much since the last few days. It's pretty much up to $5. So all of these, so the two triple color cycle, all of those cards that are seeing play are up or around $5 to $6 now, and we still see Benelish Marshall pretty much underpriced. So I think there's going to be an increase in that too, because that continues to show up too. Benelish Marshall is just a really good card. Yeah, Chain Whirler is definitely getting a lot of talk, and it has been. I mean, it's a really strong card. But yeah, a lot of these decks are really, really sweet. There's a lot of white green. The format's really wide open. I mean, there's a lot of different strategies going on, but a lot of key cards still showing up in a lot of these archetypes. Shalai, Lyra Dawnbringer, Land of War Elves. So I'm just trying to point out some of the stuff that I'm seeing that's just popped up recently. We see a red-green dinosaurs list. I haven't seen that in the last few days. This mono-blue list, mono-blue favorable wins, that might become a thing. You have a lot of really cheap but powerful flyers. Warkite Marauder is one to watch, rare from Rivals of Ixalan. I don't know really the ceiling on that card, but I believe it's it's already still at around $2, so it didn't really drop all too much. Still at around $1. Yeah, definitely. I want to talk about those Sapperling lists. I wanted to find one that I wanted to talk about. Yeah, I love the Sapperling lists, but I don't think really any have popped up on the April 30th decklist dump. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, Tendershoe Dryad was a big one. I think that was one that was talked in the... We talked about that in Discord. That has been coming up a lot the last few days. I would definitely look through these, and just to kind of see where we're going next. 46 in these deck lists alone, 46 copies of Lyra Dawnbringer, 49 copies of Karn, Scion of Urza, 50 copies of Settle the Wreckage. So, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, Lyra is definitely in there. Top creatures, Goblin Chain Whirler at 32. Rekindling Phoenix is one that I definitely miss. It's still hanging in there, hanging strong. Glorybringer seeing a nice comeback. Although it's rotating, I don't really want to be in that. And Karn at 49 copies. So while I think Teferi will see a spike, I think overall the consistent price tag for Karn is probably going to continue on even after all the supply. I don't see that card dropping too much. I think a good comparison is Chandra, Torch of Defiance. So while Teferi just seems to me like it could come in and out of favor, while Karn is just always consistent. The kind of point of interest that I wanted to talk about for Dominaria, it's really at this point, Dominaria is, you know, and any new set is going to be a sell. The cards like Rowdy Crew that we talked about on the Discord are a little bit more interesting and lucrative to me because they're still fresh. They have a long life in Standard. They're not rotating anytime soon. And some of these mythics can really, like Rowdy Crew, can really go under the radar. And especially if they're starting to see four of play in anything. I think these big red lists are really interesting. I don't know if they'll continue to be a thing. But when these kind of highly aggressive mono red lists start, I guess, getting solved, these bigger red lists kind of stick around because you're still finding these really powerful lines on the back of like Skirk Prospector. Like you can power out Siege Gang Commanders really quickly. You can still power out Chain Whirlers really quickly. And Glory Bringers and Rowdy Crews very quickly. So that's still very scary and very powerful stuff. As far as there's been talk, and we can confirm this in the insider Discord, that distributors for Dominaria, you know, a few of our store owners, and Jeremy over on Cartel Aristocrat podcast. They talked about this with Ed, that distributors pretty much are sold out. I mean, the supply for Dominaria is not keeping up with this high amount of demand. And I think that's helping leverage the higher, like the insane price spikes that we're seeing right now. Although it's not stuff that we've seen that's out of the ordinary. I mean, cards that have early results have spiked in the past. But when you have a set that I guess is this hyped and you know, folks are really trying to open this product and get into this product, and there's suddenly none left. I mean, we have some store owners that said they've had, you know, 400% increases on, you know, boxes and early boxes with that kind of head start program that they had, this kind of early bird, you know, sales that these LGSs have had for Dominaria. Those kind of numbers are staggering. And we've had two vendors, one of which Athreos, that we've had on another, a previous QS cast for a vendor cast, has also said that the pre-release attendance was off the chart. It was completely packed. So I think that's definitely leveraging some of the early price spikes. There could be more. I mean, as I would assume that this is not going to be rectified instantly, especially with this much demand. I mean, the set is amazing. There's really not much to be debated about that, but we may see more increases, definitely in the mythics. I think maybe even some rares, but all these cards are going to continue to steadily increase until we start getting that supply glut of really more boxes from the distributors, more boxes into the players' hands. So it's hard. It's hard though not to say to sell into this stuff, because I mean, $40. I mean, if you're selling Teferi Adder near $40, you got to be feeling good about that one. I really don't think there's any more meat on, you know, there's any more room up at the top for that. I mean, I'd be selling these, you know, and continuing to watch these 5-0 lists. We still have SCG results. So I think those are going to continue to kind of push some of these prices, at least very early on. I would not be, you know, following after these cards like Lich's Mastery. I know that card came up a little bit. I mean, I did not see any results of Lich's Mastery, like, at all. So stick to what is already doing well. I mean, that's kind of, I think, a very good, like, baseline strategy. I don't like to chase, like, as good as it is to speculate on some cards, and like it's good, it's great if it pans out, you know, especially when a new standard is like a new standard set drops and a new standard format is still in the works and being formed. Like, cards that are already seeing results is definitely where I want to be first. Like, I don't want to be chasing stuff like Lich's Mastery and maybe, you know, that happens because of an article. Like, I get, you know, some of these pros, they definitely have great minds, they definitely have great card evaluation, but I think, you know, when you have this many results coming in from MTGO this early on, and you're not seeing any of those cards, I mean, that's kind of a telling sign. So you know, when I was first sharing these kind of deck lists, this has been going on for a few days now, pretty much the end of last week, over the weekend. I kept seeing the same cards. So, you know, I was, you know, trying to convey that through, you know, Discord, that, hey, these cards just keep popping up. Hey, these cards just keep popping up. So that's always a good thing. And I still think Benelish Marshall starting to trend up already, but it's probably going to meet, you know, it's the rest of the cycle that's being played up in the, like, the $5-$6 range. It's actually getting played more than Chain Whirler and Steel Leaf Champion at this point, I think. Or it was. I think Chain Whirler is now probably surpassed it. So Chain Whirler is definitely up there. Okay, so that's pretty much Dominaria stuff. Stuff that I'm seeing that's just increasing as I'm speaking. So I touched on, you know, the market is just kind of booming. Like, you know, they're spending all across the board on all different avenues of the game. You know, we're in this kind of cyclical, this kind of part of the cycle, I should say, that everyone's back on, like, this reserve list stuff. This kind of happens, like, at the same point literally every year at this point. One that I'm seeing is pretty much getting bought out right now is Cadaverous Bloom. And that's, it's just on the reserve list. It's a pretty interesting card. Basically went from a dollar. It's being bought out. I don't know if really this is one to chase, but doesn't seem like a card that's going to be $1 after this. So that was definitely popping up on stocks the last few days. And a lot of other reservist card, but I just wanted to highlight that one because that one's just actually being bought up like as we speak. Other cards that I'm seeing. So yeah, Teferi, Lyra, and basically a bunch of reservist stuff. I'm trying to just highlight Dominaria. Siege Gang Commander, the Dominaria version seems to be up a little bit, but I wouldn't be going anywhere near that. History Benalia, I think, is pretty much at its peak at $20. Chain Whirler is still up. Seal Away is pretty much the most expensive uncommon next to Cast Down. I still think Wrath is going to bump up into that range. I mean, it's just insane. And it's just another the uncommon is enabling an archetype. So you always want to be, I think it's good to at least take note of that. I think really inexpensive version copies of Oath of Teferi are interesting. I'm seeing this pop up. I think this Seth played this, but I saw a 5-0 list of like Bant Super Friends. And Oath of Teferi could actually do some really powerful stuff. But the problem is it's really only played as like a 2-of. I think that deck only played it as a 2-of. But it does have some interesting long-term potential. But I don't know, like 50 cent. Just keep an eye on it. I'm not saying go out and buy like a big stack of them, but I would just keep an eye on it. I don't think there's a high ceiling there. Pretty much everything else is definitely on its way down. Another one actually. But even these, there's like $2. I think sub $1 copies of the Antiquities War could be interesting. I did not expect this card to see any play outside of Standard and even in Standard. But this one really surprised me, and definitely surprised me when I saw there was a 5-0 Modern list over the weekend, and Affinity was playing 2 of these. And I did not expect a 4 converted mana cost card like this to see play in Affinity. But, I mean, it digs really deep, and its third phase of the saga is pretty strong. I mean, if you're getting, it's just another way to push in the final points of damage. And it's extremely strong with just like cranial platings and Mox Opals and anything else that's just sitting around. So if it's just really kind of like a game ender that I think is just better overall than the blue black Tezzeret that hasn't seen play in that deck in a very long time. So if this is, you know, getting some looks, that's very interesting. And foils are at around $6. I'd like that to be lower. I don't know if I'm like too crazy about foils at that price, but I do like foils of this long term. And that's coming from me, where I don't really like holding on to stuff that long term. But Antiquities War is a powerful card. Okay. Any last requests here? I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. We started, about a half hour ago. Yeah, Winding Canyon's up 20%. Okay, Cadavers, was a combo. Okay, Oath of Teferi, yeah. Seth pulled off a 5-0 list with it. Yeah, I did mention the Antiquities War, Guillaume. I don't know if this cast has really anything to do with picks, but, I mean, there's really not much to pick, I mean, in terms of Dominaria. I think, like, 10 cent. I mean, it's a gamble. I mean, there was like $2 for 20 copies of Wrath. I mean, I think that's a really good uncommon. It might not go anywhere, but I think like $2 is, you know, not too much to gamble on a 20 copies like that. Yeah, I really like. Yeah, see, the problem is, like for the Antiquities War in particular, like the standard core of this deck, you know, with Herald of Anguish and Tezzeret the Schemer, all of that is rotating. So I don't know if there's going to be like a shell of this kind of deck that sticks around. Yeah. I'm not really going to be picking cards here or, you know, highlighting cards for our recap, especially for Guillaume and the infographics. By the way, actually, the infographics they had to be revised. So those will be out within the next day or so. Spoiler alert, I'm absolutely destroying Tarkan. So can't wait to get the full breakdown of that. But for, little sneak peek. But yeah, I'm destroying Tark. Yeah. Papu has as always, when we post these infographics, Guillaume has, a write-up, a great breakdown of the numbers. And I guess I'm putting destroying, that's actually putting it lightly, but yeah. Okay, folks, I think that's going to be it for the quick cast. I think we covered Dominaria. Tarkan and I will be back for a regular cast this week. We might touch on this again, but just wanted to at least highlight some Dominaria, what's been going on with Dominaria, talk about, at least a card that is spiking as I'm talking in Cadaverous Bloom. And it looks, I think there's a blue card that's been popping up over the last few days. I think Tarkan talked about this card. No, Tarkan talked about an artifact. Is it Well of Knowledge? I think it's from Weatherlight. I can't remember. Well of Knowledge. I think it's from Weatherlight. Yeah, there's a blue card. It's not Well of Knowledge. Although Well of Knowledge has been popping up. It's a blue card that's also been popping up a lot during the last few days. Damn, I can't remember. No. It's not Second Chance. It's Ancestral Knowledge. This seems like it's it. Yep, that's it. Ancestral Knowledge. Steady increase, man, even since from December all the way back from January. Yeah, this is up from less than a dollar up to about $2. I mean, I just keep seeing this card pop up. I don't know if a buyout's coming, but it's definitely gate on its way trending upward. That's Ancestral Knowledge, not Well of Knowledge. All right, so we'll end it with that. Thanks, folks, for tuning in with me for a quick cast. I tried to keep it as quick as possible. So I will see you later in the week with Tarkan. Thanks for joining me, folks.